Go with me, if you would, back to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We are observing the Lord's table tonight. And this is the ordinance that the Lord gave to his people in place of the Passover. For all those years, he told his people to observe the Passover. And he said, this do in remembrance. And our Lord ordained this the night that he was betrayed. While he and his disciples were observing the Passover, he told them to make a room ready. They would observe the Passover. He said, with desire, I've desired to observe this Passover with you, the last one. The last one that pictured what was to come. The Old Testament believers, when they observed their ordinance that was given to them, they had a table, just like we have a table. And it had an actual lamb slain on it. And what that was saying was, this needs to happen. This must happen. If there's any hope for us, this must happen. A lamb must be slain. That's what it was saying. A lamb must be slain. Now, in the New Testament times, when we believers observe our ordinance, we have a table not with an actual lamb slain on it, but with bread and wine, saying, it happened. The lamb was slain. They were saying, a lamb must be slain. And the Lord gave us this, representing the fact and remembering the fact, this do in remembrance of the fact that a lamb has already been slain. Our Lord said, eat this bread, remembering my body that was broken for you. And drink this wine, remembering my blood that was shed to pay all the debt of your sin, all of it. So that's what this table is. It is a remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, God's Lamb, who was slain. And I want us to remember that and remember Him as we look at each verse here in Isaiah 55. We're just going to go through this chapter, and that's what I want us to hold on to as we look at this. I've titled this message, The Payment Has Already Been Made. That's what this is. That's what it's saying. That's what we're remembering. And that's the title of this message. The payment has already been made. All right, with that in our memory, let's read verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know what that verse is saying? The payment has already been made. That's what it's saying. The payment has already been made. That is the message of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. That is the good news of Christ for sinners. The payment to God, the payment to the law, the payment to judgment, the payment to death has already been made. So verse 1 says, Ho, and what that means is, alas. It means, listen, let this grab your attention. Who should let this grab their attention? Who should listen to this? Who are you talking to? Verse 1 says, Everyone that thirsteth. Everyone that thirsteth. I pray God would give me a thirst. I pray God would give me a thirst. Everyone that hungers and thirsts for Christ. Everyone that hungers and thirsts for a payment to be made on their behalf. Just think about that for 1 minute. Do you crave a payment to God to be made for your sin on your behalf with your name on it? Everyone that hungers and thirsts for a sacrifice that will actually satisfy God, actually appease God. Everyone that hungers and thirsts for a covenant promise. A promise. Everyone who truly has that need. Verse 1 says, alas, listen up. If you have a hungering, thirsting need, come. Come. That need will be freely filled. Verse 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, no spiritual money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price. That's the gospel message throughout the entire word. The whole word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the first thing to notice is anybody who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is blessed of God. That's a blessed person. It is the blessed gift of God if any of us hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he said, all who do, they shall be filled with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Blessed is that man or woman. If there is a hunger there, our Lord said, open your mouth wide, spiritually speaking, I'll fill it. Look with me, if you would, at John 7. John 7, verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What a moment. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you love to have witnessed him cry out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. God has a particular people. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has a particular chosen people who he redeemed, chosen and redeemed. All of those people will be called. All of them will be called to come. And do you know how he calls his people? He gives them a thirst. That's what he does. He gives them, this is how he calls his people and draws his people. He puts a thirst in them for the living water of Christ. He puts a hunger in them for the heavenly bread of Christ. They want to feed on him. They want to be satisfied by him. He puts a need in them for the soul cleansing blood of Christ. He causes them to see their need. He causes them to see that this is the only hope I have before God. I must come to him. I have to have him. That's how you know who God's people are. They have a need for Jesus Christ. They have a need for the body that he broke on that cross in their place. They have a need for the blood that he shed on that cross to cover their sin. Head to toe, they have a need. And that's why it can be said, if any man thirst, come. If any man thirst, if any man has been given this, if any man has been caused to hunger, then come. Because if God didn't put that thirst and that hunger there, no man would come. It wouldn't be there. They wouldn't come. So that's his doing, and he gets that glory for it. And therefore, the word goes out, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, buy, eat, without money, without price. It's all free. It's all free. Now, why is it all free? You know, we talk about free grace, free salvation. Why is it all free? It's because an infinite price was paid. It's because a value that no man could possibly understand was paid. The payment has already been made. Look to the Lamb of God. Turn your eyes upon him in remembrance of that. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I pray that we might understand that in the remembrance of this. I pray we might understand that. If God has given us a need for Christ, come. Come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are the only souls on earth who have been made willing to take the water of life freely. The only ones. Outside of Christ, man cannot take it freely. Man will not have it freely. He will not. He believes he must make a payment for it. That's where every man or woman starts. I have to make a payment for this. It's where everybody starts. I have to make my own payment for this. Man spends his whole life trying to earn enough value to make his own payment to God for this, not realizing that God will not accept another payment than this right here. He will not accept it. If he did, it would make the payment that his precious son made void. It would make it worthless, in vain. He said the water of life comes freely to sinners, or it doesn't come at all. But if you and I have been made willing to freely receive the full payment that Christ has already made, then he said, take all you want. All the refreshing you want. All the filling you want. And God's people say, Lord, how much will you give? How much will you give? I told you this a long time ago, but when Isabella was very young, we were at the table, and she used to reach and grab too much food. She'd just pile it, and we'd tell her, honey, that's too much. That's just too much. And we sat down at the table one time, and she just held her plate out next to something she liked, and she said, I want too much. And I pray the Lord will let me say that. Lord, I want too much. Fill me. Let my cup run over. Lord, you said I could have it freely. You said I could eat this heavenly bread. I want my soul to be full. Whether my bank account is full, whether this life is full, I want my soul to be full. And I want my soul to be refreshed. Lord, let me drink in the gospel. Let me drink in the word. He said, if you have a need, if the Lord puts a real, honest awareness and need in you for that, he said, I'll fill you. Take all you want. You want Christ? Take all you want. Take too much. Take more than you'll ever hold. Go with me back to Isaiah 55. In remembrance of the fact that the payment has already been made, verse 1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What is good? God is good. Christ is good. His eternal salvation is good. What is fatness? His gospel is fatness. His word is fatness. Marrow, the scripture calls it. Meat, the scripture calls it. Look with me over at Jeremiah 31. Just a few pages over to Jeremiah 31. This is a wonderful portion here. Jeremiah 31, verse 10 says, Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate, I'll satisfy the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. They'll all be satisfied. They'll all be filled. Come and dine. If that is appetizing to you, he says, come and dine. If we hunger for that, if we thirst for that, come and dine. Go with me back to Isaiah 55. Verse 3 says, Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Incline your ear and hear. What are we listening for? What will be told to us? The payment has already been made. Already been made. Verse 3 says, Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I'll promise you, he says, incline your ear and listen to me, and I'll make a promise to you. I'll make a covenant with you that the payment has already been made. Verse 4 says, behold, I have given him, Christ, for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Now that's an amazing statement. He hath glorified thee. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified with him. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all of the called according to his purpose, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified us. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The payment has already been made. Verse 4 says, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. So verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I want everyone to listen to that. Ho, ho, seek the Lord while he may be found. If God has given you a heart, seek him. If God has not given you a heart, beg him for one. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't miss Christ. Don't go stand before God outside of this promised covenant of his Son. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, his works, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Why will God do that? Why will he have mercy? Really? Why will he have mercy? Why will he abundantly pardon sinners like us? Why will he do that? It's because the price has already been paid. That's the reason why. The price of mercy, the price of pardon, the price of redemption has already been paid. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We see that in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We clearly see that in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man, no mortal sinful man could have designed the perfect redemption that God did in the sacrifice of his Son. Verse 10 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The message of the gospel of Christ crucified will go out, and it will reach the hearts and souls of his people. Honestly, let's beg God to let us be those people. It is going to go out, and it is going to reach the hearts of his people. Lord, let it be me. Let it reach mine. Let me be one of your people. It's going to call all those people to him. They're going to see their need. They're going to see their remedy. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. And verse 12 says, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hand." Through this message, because of this sacrifice, the Lord is going to gather his people to himself. He's going to carry us out. We're going to go out with joy. We're going to be led forth with peace. And then forever with him, verse 13 says, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." And what that means is there's not going to be any more sin. Why? Because the price for sin has already been paid. "And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that it shall not be cut off." For the rest of our days in eternity, we're going to cry, "Thank God the price has already been paid. Thank God the price has already been paid by our Savior, paid in full, paid on the cross of Calvary, paid by the Lord Jesus Christ." Thank God. In observing this, this table is for God's people who are seeking Christ, mercy in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in taking this, this is not a component of salvation. All we're doing is remembering the fact that the price has already been paid. That's all we're doing. All who have been given a heart to remember that, let's take this together, all right? Let's remember this together. All right, Brother Bob Coffey, you come and read for us.